This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter, down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music.
I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me and associate producer Randy Hare for a visit with July Marino, creator and executive director of the Mermaid Society of Texas, along with local legend Shirley Rogers. Shirley's father opened Aquarina Springs Amusement Park on the river in San Marcos, Texas, back in 1951, and she starred as one of the original Aquamaids, fondly known as Mermaids today. Come along and join Marino and Rogers to learn about the state of Texas officially proclaiming San Marcos as the Mermaid Capital of Texas. We'll learn about the roots of Aquarina Springs Park that was started by Rogers' grandfather back in 1926, and the spring's eventual stewardship by Texas State University's Meadow Center for Water and the Environment. Here we are at Mermaid World Headquarters. Tell us about being in the world of mermaids. So tell us about today with the Mermaid Society and what you do.
I'm July Moreno, and I am the creator and founder of Mermaid Society, SMTX, Mermaid Society of Texas.
And how did that happen with you?
Well, good gosh, we go back a little bit of time. You know, this idea of Mermaid Society, well, first of all, the title that I gave this organization was really with the idea at the time, so much was changing in San Marcos. This was, gosh, 7 years ago, roughly. There was promise of big development happening. Things were moving really quick in San Marcos. Housing was being purchased. We had more folks moving into San Marcos from out of town. We had more student population. And then we had the locals, like myself, kind of in the mix of things. And so I remember feeling there was an energy in our town, a nervous energy in our town. What's happening? What's on the horizon? So the title for this organization for me was, I felt like the Mermaid Society could be the emerging of a new society for San Marcos and bridging the past to the present for the future. Today, we've had a lot of celebration over the past weeks. We had the official announcement of the Mermaid Capital of Texas. That designation actually took place May 24th. The city formally announced it. You know, just a really exciting time. It makes it all official. We've been working very hard to get to this designation, and we started it in 2017. It ran out of time in the legislative session in 2019, and we were not able to get it through. So fingers crossed that we could do it in 2022, and it happened.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Provable reason why San Marcos is deserved of the Mermaid Capital of Texas,
right.
Yeah, going way back.
Going way back. You know, it originally started, I mean, all of this has started through Aquarina Springs.
Which was a resort.
An amusement park in San Marcos, yes. In the early 1950s, lasted all the way until the early 1990s. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we obviously don't have it anymore. So the site currently is a science facility.
Part of the university.
Part of the university. Mm-hmm. The Meadow Center for Water and Environment. But the memories are still alive and strong with many, many people, depending on who you talk to.
When the Springs was operating as a resort destination, as a theme park, you had mermaids who were part of the activities, right?
These beautiful underwater performers, they were called actually Aquamaids. Mm-hmm. We just knew them to be mermaids. That's what we knew. And so on Sundays, my family would come down to Aquarina, as most families did, and got to enjoy the park, and then, of course, take in, you know, one of the shows. So those are my fond memories of Aquarena Springs. I don't think they had the performers up until the end. Shirley, I'm not sure about that, but if they did or didn't up until the very end. But it was definitely a unique amusement. We had it right here in San Marcos.
Maybe we'll have Shirley talk about her dad and the vision and how it started.
Definitely.
I'm Shirley Rogers. I am the daughter of Paul J. Rogers and the granddaughter of A.B. Rogers. And it was in 1929 that my grandfather, A.B. Rogers, had the vision of a resort at the head of the San Marcos River. And he began construction of what was then called the Spring Lake Hotel on the river. And the official opening was in 1929. And it operated for about a year and a half before the brunt of the Depression hit. Then the facility had to close down for a number of years. It was later reopened in the 1960s when my father renovated the hotel. But my grandfather's dream was having people come to stay in the hotel, and he built the golf course that was adjacent to the river. So the resort included the Spring Lake Hotel, the river as the swimming area, and the golf course.
Was tubing always an integral part of being on the river?
Yes, his dream was that he owned the property in 1926, I believe. He bought 160 acres of property at the head of the San Marcos River. So his dream was to share that with our community in the state of Texas and the area, because we had the clearest spring water anywhere around, and his idea was to utilize the springs. And he later developed the theory of the glass bottom boats, and my father then continued on with this dream of glass bottom boats on the river, as well as an underwater show. So that was the beginning back in 1929 when all this transpired.
In the second incarnation, when did Aquarena Springs start? When did it open?
Aquarena Springs, well, the dream began way back early on, but it officially opened in 1951. There was a small opening in 1950 to try it out, and the official opening was in 1950. It began with the underwater show, and then there was later other attractions were added. But
so your dad built a submarine that people would go underwater on?
That was my dad's idea and dream, and he met with some businessmen in Florida and who had experience in the tourism business and with attractions like Wekawachi Springs, and then hired men from Switzerland to come and do the actual building of the underwater theater.
Tell us about when the underwater theater was built. How did you access it, and how many people could go down and watch the show?
Original underwater theater seated almost 100 people, and my dad's idea was to call it the world's only submarine theater. So this was a theater, the first one of its kind, to submerge underwater, where the steps leading into and out of the theater remained open, but the theater itself was underwater, and through the windows the tourists could look out and observe the swimmers, the underwater show, from their seats and stay dry.
The performers, the dancers, were all mermaids, right?
Yes, and the underwater show featured mermaids. Well, they were called aquamaids. The girls were trained to first begin the show on top of the water with a synchronized swimming routine. Then gradually, as the levers were pulled and the submarine started to go underwater, the girls then changed, and there was an underwater stage. They would dive into the underwater stage, and then the remainder of the show, which was about 40 minutes, would be held underwater.
The girls, were they high school girls from San Marcos? Were they university students? Where did they come from?
In the beginning, it was mostly the university students. Yes, back then it was Southwest Texas State University. It was college university students. And then we convinced our father, to my sister and I, to allow us to be part of the show and learn the routines. Mm-hmm. And swim the shows. He wasn't too thrilled about that, but he finally conceded, and we were able to be performers as well.
So that was a real fun part of your life memories, for sure.
Oh, yes, that was the most fun summer, the summer that I performed. It was great. It was very fun. I was still in college at this point, and I did it only 1 year, but mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. It was fabulous.
Eventually, the Aquarina Springs Resort destination closed, right?
Yes, the Aquarina as a tourist attraction, the family decided to sell Aquarina in 1988, so it was sold to an investor that also kept it going as a tourist attraction until 1994, when the Texas State University bought the attraction. So then it switched from being a tourist attraction to a nature preserve, so mm-hmm. which it is today.
And so the university manages it to this day, right?
Yes, to this day. They still own and manage the grounds, and it was totally converted. The buildings were removed, and the Sky Ride was removed, and the Texana Village, and all the buildings were removed, but it's now back to nature.
Do you miss the old days when it was a resort?
I think a lot of people miss it because it was such a fun, it was sort of a nature tourism thing, more than it was a nature attraction. We like to think of it instead of a, mm-hmm. Tourist attraction.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the people that grew up with Aquarina Springs, I think, yes, it's still being missed, but it's also nice to do more things to preserve the river, and there's a lot has been learned since the 1950s and about nature tourism, how to preserve the river and how to help our planet, so yeah.
And right now we're at the world headquarters of the Mermaid Society.
That's right. So we're thrilled to death that the memory of the fun days and the tourist attraction days, all that is, we're happy that the memory is being continued as things do change, and it's still a good time.
You know, I grew up in San Marcos. I have so many wonderful memories of the river. I mean, that's where I learned how to swim.
Do you remember the mermaids when you were a little girl?
I do. I remember that. We would often visit Aquarina Springs. That was a treat. You know, we didn't get to do that every week,
right.
But it certainly was a treat to go. And when we did, and the one thing to look forward to was, you know, seeing the mermaids swim underwater. I mean, it was such a joy. It was a really wonderful thing. So for me, that left an impression for sure. And so I will always remember those fond memories because of Aquarina Springs. That's part of my childhood.
And so that's part of what spurred you
to... Absolutely. Yeah. And so kind of going back to things changing in San Marcos, I felt like there needed to be something that could unite us. Even for myself, who born and raised in San Marcos, and you know, I was an adult at the time, obviously, and so the thought was, how do we move forward without losing our past? I felt very passionate about the fact that we were at risk of losing our identity, the uniqueness of San Marcos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd often speak with people who had just moved here, and I'd say, well, you know, the Aquamaids, or you know, and no one knew the history, not really.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, yeah, the swimming pig, or, oh, yeah, the, you know, dancing chickens, or something that was so unrelated that it was just, no, let me tell you. And so I found myself being the storyteller over and over again. So it became very important to me that we needed to do something. We needed to do something quick. And I became very passionate about the idea of mermaids being a thing for San Marcos. And, you know, we could have statues in San Marcos. We could have a festival in San Marcos. We could have this whole, like...
Don't you have a parade?
Yeah, we have awesome festival. We really do. And so, like, we could do these things. And what if we could all, like, just unite around this idea and the mermaid be the mascot for San Marcos?
Mm-hmm.
And we would be uniting for protection and preservation of our San Marcos River. This beautiful river that runs through our town that is completely unique from most any other city, and we have it right here, and it's free, and you can jump in at any time of the day, and it's spring fed, and it's 72 degrees year round, and it's gorgeous.
And the kids do that every day.
And
huh?
The kids do that every day.
Yeah.
And so would it be interesting enough that people would want to champion this? So I began talking to people. I pretty much knocking on doors, just kind of wanting to run this idea by people to see if it really had enough energy or if I was just so passionate about it. But, you know, did it really have something? You know, 9 out of 10 times, it was just, yeah, absolutely. This is a great idea. This is something that we need. Our city needs this. We need to unite. And, you know, our river needs the attention. And, you know, this continuing the history of Ocarina Springs, I mean, how beautiful. What other city can say that, right? In the state of Texas, we have it. So there is really where it began, you know, a laptop in the center of my bed and mapping this out was really where it began. And so I just became naturally fueled by the energy of this, and I was obsessed with it. I just became very obsessed with it, to the point where my brother would say, he'd come over for dinner and he'd say, let's not talk about mermaids. No mermaids today. And I couldn't help. I could not help not talking about it. And so we officially became an organization in 2016. We launched Mermaid Society in January of 2016. And with the promise of a festival that would happen, and this festival would bring people together, and we could tell our story, and we could highlight the San Marcos River, and we could celebrate all things San Marcos. And the acronym that we use for the festival is called SPLASH. And so that stands for Stewardship, Preservation, Local, Arts, Sustainability, and Heritage, all things San Marcos. And this would be a creative platform to invite organizations and people and community all together to do what they do already. But let's join effort and let's do it together. And let's really have a ball doing it. So it's a 15-day festival that happens in September, the close of summer.
And it's scheduled for 2021.
It's scheduled for 2021. It is a scaled back version for 2021 for COVID reasons. But typically we organize 8 events. The Mermaid Society Art Ball, which is an amazing event that takes place at the headwaters, right at the site of Ocarina Springs.
Outdoors.
Outdoors, and that was on purpose. We have the Downtown Parade, which is scheduled this year. We are scheduling that September 25th. And that goes right into Downtown Street Fair right afterwards. So it's an outdoor event. We are not having, but it will be for next year, resumed the Mertini Shakedown Competition. Of course, you have to have Mertinis, which I'm also very passionate about seeing that be the signature cocktail for San Marcos, is the Mertini. So 16 different locations compete for the best cocktail, and a very serious competition that happens. We have 2 community symposiums. One is on river guardianship, and the other is on arts, culture, and preservation. So they are the only 2 community symposiums that are coordinated here in San Marcos. And it brings together folks like myself, who are everyday people, to sit at the table with scientists and, you know, activists, and have a conversation about the river, for the river guardianship one. And the same thing, obviously, with the arts, culture, preservation. We have the Aquafair event. And so that's an event that takes place by the river, like music and food, and that is encouraging of having families come and sit and enjoy and picnic by the river, jump in the river, swim with the mermaids, a ton of mermaids that come to that event. So there's a number of events that we coordinate, but the calendar of festival, we've had upwards of, you know, 30 plus events that have taken place. We use the design of Fiesta in San Antonio, where there's multiple events on multiple days, 15 days, people choose what they go to. There's something for everyone. Again, to bring community together, to celebrate, you know, the things that are great about our city. So a scaled down version this year, the date is September 25th. Next year, we will resume again and in September. And so we're looking forward to that.
That's really cool. So in your parade, you have mermaids that are...
Oh, we have mermaids.
That are in the parade.
Oh, yes. Not just local mermaids, which, by the way, let me just say this. For San Marcos, the mermaid is a freshwater mermaid. Okay, so that's very important. She's a freshwater mermaid. We do have visiting mermaids who are saltwater mermaids, for sure. But we have mermaids that are actually coming in from all parts of Texas to be in this parade.
There are little covens of mermaids on East Coast and West Coast.
I will tell you, I did not know this before I stepped into this whole mermania. But it is serious business. It is serious business. And so even globally, I mean, you know, there are just mermaid
they're little
aficionados.
They have groups and clubs. And
very serious about
yeah.
it. And so it's important to know that the San Marcos mermaid, she is beautiful, and she's strong and powerful, and she is Mother River, and she is a protector of our springs and our endangered species. And for children, she is, you know, being her message is she's a superhero to the river. And so that's a very important. I get very excited about that part of it because, you know, I want her to be known as something very powerful and beautiful, not just catchy, you know, cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
That's not her. The San Marcos mermaid is pretty amazing.
I love it. Another superwoman.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. She's right up there with Batman.
Yeah.
She's right up there. Or Wonder Woman. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what Mermaid Society is doing, and not only do we produce this festival every year in September, which is growing every year, our important work is we have developed our youth eco-programming. And so it is the only programming of its kind in the state of Texas, and it's the first of its kind in San Marcos. And so we have developed two programs in partnership with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and in partnership with the Meadow Center as well. And this program we now have in the schools. So Mermaid Maya, which if you go to our Facebook page or website, you'll see her Facebook. Mermaid Maya is a big part to this. Mermaid Maya delivers the message to children. And there are two programs. One is called Mermaid Chats. And so she goes into the schools and she talks to the children about how they can become superheroes just like she is. She introduces them to her friends, Sally the Salamander, you know, Sammy the Blind Salamander, and Wendy Wild Rice, and so forth. And teaches them very simple takeaways, things, do's and don'ts.
So these characters come to the elementary schools? And
well, they're communicating the messaging Mermaid Maya has. And so Mermaid Maya comes in full mermaid, and she talks to the children about the do's and don'ts, you know, simple takeaways. We don't let our dog poop by the river. This is why. We don't use styrofoam. This is why. And so the children are able to, for the first time, understand that there's even a threat mm-hmm. for any of those topics, right? A threat to our river at all. And in many cases, the first introduction to the San Marcos River. And then the second program is a patch program. That's third through sixth grade. And so we have a patch program that the children can earn getting a patch using the acronym Stewardship Preservation Local Arts Sustainability and Heritage. It is STEAM modified, antiques ready, and it is. We have a bilingual version of it. We have a virtual program of it. And the last part, we will have an American Sign Language version of it.
So this, your dream and vision has come to fruition, huh? Yeah.
It really has been in stages, and we still have, believe me, the dream is far and wide.
You're not done yet.
No. We're just beginning. Mm-hmm. We really are just beginning. So, you know, the establishment of the designation was very important for us to put that foundation in place. And it's really given us, it will give us the opportunity to, you know, do all the things that we wish to do in the future. So we have our youth program, which is very important. And then we use our creative platform to bring people in. So this is, I think, is important. So like myself, I wouldn't say before I started, I was somebody that was very involved in river activism or, you know, just a knowing of river cleanups. I was not physically involved. I am now, but I feel like Mermaid Society serves as the social hub to river guardianship. And so what we do, what our work is, we're going to bring people by way of the festival or any other activity that we do throughout the year. And you might just be just a regular person, you know, just interested enough to come to the parade or interested enough to come to any of the activities that we do. But you're going to hear more about the San Marcos River. You're going to hear more about the organizations that actually do this work 365 days a year. And we connect. We're a gateway. And so we help to connect that information to you. And hopefully now you're a little bit, just a little bit more interested in what's happening in San Marcos and the San Marcos River.
Maybe a lot more.
And so, you know, I use this example a lot, and that I'm somebody that's not going to be physically in the river pulling out trash because I just simply have a great fear of snakes. I just do. So I'm one of those people, right? But I could also be somebody who just doesn't swim or doesn't care to get in the water, or for whatever reason, I'm not there. I feel like I represent the majority of our community in San Marcos. We know the river's there. We grew up with the river. But somebody else is taking care of it. Surely, right? The city. Yep. It's responsibility to take care of it. And so we just don't know. And so somebody like me, if I'm not engaged, right, if I'm not invited to anything, then it doesn't exist. The problem doesn't exist for me. If I do have the opportunity to somehow know more and to be involved, guess what I can do besides getting into the river? I can donate money. I can donate my land. I can get involved as a volunteer. I can flip burgers, you know? And once we engage our community, once we connect with our community, invite them to be part of the movement, to be part of it, now we have the community involved. And at the end of the day, what we can do is vote. And that's where it's important. Now we can make a difference because we have more people that are interested in wanting to protect the river. And so, you know, I think innocently enough, I think for the most part, people just take it for granted. The river's going to be running.
Randy Hare.
I feel like you've more than anything covered a lot of it. And it's really cool because we came into this, like, I knew nothing. I saw something that said Aquamaids and I was like, oh, that's interesting. What's the story with that? I never considered a different name. Right. But I was also like, you know, mermaids are cool, but just first impression, no research. Right. And then to hear you speak like, and this isn't even my town. Like, I have no loyalty to that river, you know? And I'm like, oh, but I do, yeah, it is our earth. So it's really nice because I'm wondering, like, how could we apply, like, what could I do where I live to, like, serve as that? I really like how you said it was a gateway to get people involved, because it's true. If you, you know, I was going to say shove a flyer in someone's face, but then that's, like, too much paper. Right. If you get in someone's face and you're like, don't you care about the planet? People are like, yeah, of course. Like, I think most people right. want it, you right, know, right. but they're just going to see you as like a Greenpeace exactly. person. They exactly. want.
And that's a big part with our programming, having Mermaid Maya deliver the message as opposed to John with a clipboard. You know, it is just way more engaging. Kids are way more interested. They have questions. And, you know, it's our idea of combining fantasy with science and delivering that message in a way that it resonates with children. And, you know, they have a short attention span, so you got to get in. And it just is. I mean, I remember a great example was, it was a group of Girl Scouts, and Mermaid Maya is teaching this from the riverside. And the Girl Scouts are walking in, and there was this one little girl, she must have been about 8 years old, and she said, this better be good, right? And, oh, gosh, we got a tough one here. Okay, you know, so she sits front and center, and she's just determined, oh, I'm just going to, you know, this is not good. I'm going to just grade this person, whatever. And by the time it was done, she was the one raising her hand with questions. She was just like, this is the best thing ever, you know? So it is a good thing. It's a way of teaching. Again, it's the only thing of its kind in the state of Texas. You know, Why a Mermaid in San Marcos gives us the opportunity to really talk about all the things and really, let me tell you about the San Marcos River. It's all about the San Marcos River. So,
you know, obviously resonates with children for some reasons, you know, that's the whole thing. But do you think that it also provides that same gateway for adults, or what kind of ways? Is it Mermaid Maya in a different situation? Like, what? How do you repackage it for adults?
Right. So it does. It really does. It's not necessarily Mermaid Maya speaking to the adults necessarily, but it's the now I know more, because our whole campaign, everything that we're doing from throughout the year is bringing attention to these organizations, bringing attention to the San Marcos River. We're delivering that information in many ways, in creative ways. You know, putting out PSAs about, you know, glitter is litter, and, you know, don't bling our springs, and things like that that are just important. We have a university here, so there's a lot of celebration that happens by the river with confetti and glitter and things like that that are just innocent, you know. So, again, you know, our platform, we do it in a fun, exciting, creative way that just kind of delivers that message in a whole nother way that I think people appreciate. And so for adults to be involved, again, this is when we're talking about the festival, having sponsors being involved that would otherwise not know about the issues that we have, or volunteers being involved that are now just learning about the river. It has proven to be that people are much more interested, that it has now become a cool thing to do and to be involved in.
Can I be a member? Can I get involved? I was just wondering, with the kids celebrating at the school and stuff like that, first of all, I want to give a shout out to biodegradable glitter. I don't know if you use that, but that could be an option.
Of course, glitter is definitely... Well, it's, we actually...
I love the don't bling.
Make sure that people know not to wear glitter, and if you are going to wear it, wear the eco-friendly glitters. There's a lot of them that are out there people can choose from.
I think that's a great PSA. Mini PSA. I was wondering if you partner with the school at all, with the college, or if there's any events you guys have. I know sometimes college kids are either really want to get involved or like that 8-year-old. But
We do. I mean, there are partnerships, I mean, specifically for events. We do have an internship program. By the way, we are a very small number of staff people here at Mermaid Society. But I say that proudly because we have done incredibly big things with limited resources and just a few people, really. Volunteer-wise, of course, we do. And so we do have an internship program. We will really be able to go into our internship program in 2022. We were ready to do that in 2020, but as we know, you know what happened with that. So yes, the answer to that is yes, we do have and want to have student involvement.
So if you've done so much with a small team, I mean, imagine what a big team could do, or imagine what just people working together would do. So how do people join the Mermaid Society?
So we haven't launched our membership program, and there is also plans to have a chapter program. We have received a number of requests for both, obviously. But our chapter program, I'm really excited about that because as a chapter in another city, for instance, they would be part of Mermaid Society as a chapter doing what they currently do or possibly creating something that is along the lines of our vision and mission. The idea would be that once a year we convene here during festival. We hear about the different projects that are going on and create this network of support. And then everyone gets to enjoy the festival together. So that's the idea moving forward. Our membership that will also launch before the end of the year, we think that'll be during Christmas time. What a wonderful Christmas gift to give to somebody is a membership with the Mermaid Society. So that will also be, you know, something that will be available. There will be student membership, there will be community membership, nonprofit, and corporate for sure. So to answer to your question about, you know, how do you get the community involved and support all the way around, is that's the key, is to create this synergy. With the designation of Mermaid Capital of Texas that we've worked really hard to make happen, Mermaid Society championed that designation. You know, our goal into getting that officially ours in San Marcos was so that everything that we did moving forward really brought us together, that you would have the city departments, you know, working hand in hand with us. You would have these, the community organizations, you know, working in synergy as well. And so this is really important. And I know that it will continue to happen. We will continue to build on what we've already been doing. That's just going to be better for our community in general.
And the world.
And the world, exactly.
Okay. I mean, I feel like that's a good stopping point, but I was going to ask if you felt that the people who, the saltwater mermaids that attended the festival or people who aren't from San Marcos, are they more dedicated to, are they maybe not as environmentally involved? Or is that, are you kind of spreading the message to them that they could go do the same thing, and that's where like the chapters could also potentially be, or
right? And just so that I let me clarify, the chapters aren't necessarily mermaid specific. Right, it could be a community organization that wants to just move forward with some sort of waterway protection, right? Creeks, lakes, rivers, ocean, you know, all water leads to the ocean. So I mean, we're all in this together. So we do. The mermaids that are coming in from other areas, the message that we get is that they're inspired by it. And so they're excited about getting something going in their areas or having some sort of environmental aspect to their pod, you know, that they're growing. So that's exciting. That's very exciting that we're helping to inspire, that there's a bigger purpose for a mermaid, that being education and, you know, utilizing that image to read to children or something that is good for the community in general.
Again, emotionally invested in it.
That's usually happens. I would just say that for me personally, I'm just so proud to be a San Marcan, so proud to have been born and raised here in San Marcos, with the wonderful memories that I've had, to include Ocarina Springs that has started all of this. And I just want to be part of helping to build the legacy and continuing the legacy on for future generations. And so we have a number of people that are also very personally invested into making sure that that happens.
Parting thoughts.
Well, I think it's wonderful that the San Marcos River is still a drawing card, bringing people from far and near to San Marcos. And although it's a different genre, it's a wonderful thing. And to watch the changes has been very interesting and enlightening. And I think it's a good thing for our city. And I'm proud that the memory of what was started many, many years ago by my father and grandfather is still remembered and celebrated, and as we celebrate the river. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Shirley, thanks for sharing. This is really great. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from San Marcos, Texas, where we've been at the world headquarters of the Mermaid Society. We'll see you down here.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.